I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels. This is another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. And on this episode, we actually have a guest host. You guys remember Sarah. She's been here for a couple episodes. She's going to help us interview Meg. And Meg is somebody that I found on TikTok and Instagram. She is a nurse and has worked in some pretty cool places and had some spooky haunting experiences. Meg, how are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. Thank you. This is so cool.
No, thank you for coming on. And Sarah, how are you doing?
Great. Happy to be back.
Awesome. Sounds like it. So Meg, usually how we kind of start the podcast, we want to find out where our guest is kind of on their supernatural meter, meaning zero, you don't believe in ghosts at all. 10, meaning ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I mean, I would say I'm definitely more than a 5. Like, I definitely lean towards that side. How about 8? I'm going to go with 8.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty strong. I think for most of us when we started this podcast, since we are skeptics, we were like probably at like a 1 or a 2. JJ and Kat, who will be back for the next episode. JJ is our, I would say, most hardcore skeptic. And even he at this point is like about a 4.5, 5, a 6, kind of depending on the episode, really, for all of us. So yeah, I mean, after doing so many of these and hearing so many stories, it's getting to a point where it's hard for us just to straight up, you know, refute, hey, this can't be real. Because we do get to, you know, especially over Zoom, you can see the person, interact with them, and we kind of get a vibe for our guest. And really, for the most part, everybody feels like they're being honest about their experiences. So it's been kind of fun to go on that journey. And we're excited to hear your story. So can you give us a little bit about your background and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Meg. I have been a nurse for 10 years. And a couple years ago, I just needed like a creative outlet. I felt like healthcare was sucking my soul out of my body. So I started a little blog and social media channels just to like talk about stuff that I was passionate about and see if anybody else wanted to listen and relate to it. And that's kind of how I started everything. And that's how you found my little TikTok thing. But I totally agree with what you were saying before about like, once you hear so many stories, or for me, like you see so many things, it's like, how can you deny it? You know?
Yeah, for sure. And you work in the medical field, which I would imagine has a lot of, you know, kind of A-type grounded people. And I know one of your videos, I think it had like 8.5 million views, was a story somebody else had told you about their experiences. Is that right?
Yeah, that one was a story that had happened to me in one of my last jobs. I want to say it was like one of the first hospitals that I ever worked at. And it wasn't my personal patient. It was my friend's patient, but I was helping her. And everyone kind of knew the story because it was kind of really sad what had happened. And like there was a really poor prognosis. So everybody kind of talks about it behind the scenes. So then when what happened in the story happened, everybody freaked out. And I don't know why I felt compared to share that one. Like, I don't know why I chose to share that. There's so many stories in my head. But a lot of people had a lot of opinions about it. A lot of people were like, this is proof of Jesus. And other people were like, that's not true. That never happened.
Can you walk our audience through that story?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to make it short.
No, you don't have to.
We're so pressed for time.
Yeah.
I know. I always feel that way. TikTok's, 15 seconds to a minute. So I was helping one of my nurse friends bathe a patient and it was in ICU. This person was young, less than 30, and got in a terrible accident and was just like in a coma. And from what all the other nurses had told me, because it wasn't my patient, was that he was like, they had no brain activity. And they were suggesting to the family, like, can we donate his organs? Like, he's so young and you kind of have to make a decision because he had already been in the ICU. They tried everything. It was like over a week. And so the doctors usually have to give like the family a time limit to say, hey, if you don't want to like, quote unquote, pull the plug, we need to move him to a different, to like a long-term care facility because this is an ICU bed and like really sick patients need it. And they gave him a deadline. They were like, you need to decide, are we going to pull the plug, harvest the organs, or are we going to like transfer him somewhere else? And the family they were from Haiti. I don't know what religion they were. I mean, it wasn't my patient, so I didn't get like all their information, but they were doing like all sorts of like chanting and like ritual stuff in the room. Like 24 hours, they had people like just outside the doors of the ICU or like in the room whenever they could be. It was a little bit eerie. Like, I don't know what it was. I want to say it was like some sort of like voodoo stuff because it's nothing that it didn't seem like Catholicism or, it was really interesting. And I was helping, back to the beginning, I was helping this nurse bathe the patient and they had, it was like the last day that they had to decide. And my friend who's a nurse always talks to the unconscious patients like they're totally with it. Like, she'll tell them about her day. She'll be like, all right, so-and-so, we're like rolling you over and we're giving you a bath. And she talks to them. And then she goes, what was the name I used in the video? I'll just say Connor. She goes, Connor, hold my hand or grab my hand, Connor, grab my hand. And she's, we're like washing him. And then he grabs her hand as she's like cleaning his arms, he grabs her hand. And at first, me and her froze. And we were like, oh, he's having some like a little firing or something.
Because he was completely unconscious, right?
Unconscious, like declared, essentially brain dead. Like, we did multiple scans of his brain and EEGs and they all showed no brain activity.
Wow.
None. So he grabs her hand. We get like chills up and down because we're like, is this real? Is it just a fluke? People do weird things when they're dying. And then she just keeps talking to him. Like, it's true. It's true. That's another story I have to tell you about somebody, the freakiest dying experience. And then, so she's like washing him and she's like, Connor, move your foot, Connor. And he starts to like do things. And throughout the day, like they scan him again and there's all of a sudden activity. And it was just the coolest thing. But eventually he was transferred out of the ICU because he was doing better. And then a couple months later, he came like walking in and I was working that day and my friend Francis was also working that day. And as soon as we saw him, we were like, what the? Oh my gosh, it's Connor. It was just freaky. Like, somebody that we were bathing, essentially like, you're dying. Like, you're going to leave this this body, to see that person like walking in, it was like seeing a ghost. It was crazy.
Kind of the controversy on TikTok, the fact that his family was kind of performing these rituals or prayers, I guess, was the belief that that is what brought him back?
Yeah, that's what people were debating. You know, they were saying, oh, this is proof of God. They're praying to God. And I was like, listen, if you were there, I don't know. I don't know who they were praying to. Like, it wasn't like anything like traditional evangelical or Catholicism. So that's where kind of the debates in the comments started to happen. And people, you know, with extreme views on other sides.
No, not on the internet.
To them too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people had opinions.
Yeah.
What?
Has that ever happened before? Have you ever witnessed somebody be, you know, for all intents and purposes, like brain dead and then kind of come back like that?
It's hard to say because dead is hard to just be like dead, because you can not have a heartbeat. You can stop breathing. Right. But it's kind of like for someone to be dead, they have to be like dead, dead. But I have seen people who totally lost their heartbeat or stopped breathing. And we coded them. And in my head, I'm like, they're gone. They're gone. Like, we're going to make all the effort we can for hours. And the person came back. It's interesting how, like, even with, like, all our efforts, are we really in control? Like, I think it's when it's your time to go, you just go.
Yeah.
No matter what medicine tries to do.
Yeah. Our last guest, or actually a guest before last, her name is Regina Hart. Her and her brother drowned in a pool. And her brother was, I want to say he stopped breathing for 18 minutes. She was out for 13 minutes. And they both came out of it. And before that point, neither one of them had any, you know, what is called like supernatural gifts. And then after that, she was able to communicate with the dead and what I would call a medium. I don't know if she would agree with that, but that's kind of what it sounded like. And her brother, like, he gets the future communicated to him through dreams. Shortly after that drowning, he asked his parents why they were moving. And they were like, what are you talking about? We're not moving. And then like a month later, his dad got transferred to another state because of his job and they had to move. But anyway, we're not here for that episode, but just a quick plug that just reminded me of that. And I have like a real fear of death, and it's, you know, I've had conversations with loved ones about like, you know, if something ever happened to you, what would you want to do? And I'm like, you leave that cord in until the electricity goes out. Like, let's just play it out and see how it goes. Sarah, what about you? Would you want the cord left in?
No. No. Yeah. I'd be okay with them pulling it. I mean, you know, make a little effort, but I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Connor or not, but like, did he have any memories from his time in the ICU? Was he aware of anything?
I don't know. I don't know. I only got to see him for a couple minutes because he came like in the middle of our shift. But yeah, that would be a super interesting thing to ask him. I know a lot of people that have, you know, like almost crossed over and they, you know, have some stories to tell. It wasn't like somebody just shut the lights off and then they turned them back on.
Yeah. Well, because it feels like he knew that she was talking to him when he was brain dead. So I'm like, man, was he hearing everything?
Yeah, probably.
That's probably. So
that's
scary.
It like, is.
My mom actually had sinus surgery like years and years ago. And she told me after the surgery, she was put under, but she could hear everything throughout the entire surgery. She said it was horrifying. Like, she could just hear everybody talking, doing the work. She couldn't feel anything. But she couldn't respond, obviously, because she was under. And apparently, you know, there's like some percentage of society that just happens to sometimes.
Yeah. And we don't really know why. Like, anesthesiologists, they put people under and we sort of guess on like dosages and things like that based on weight and age and things like that. But we still don't really understand how anesthesia works. We just found something that kind of works, but we have no idea how it works in the body. We know how it's metabolized out, but we can scan the brain on anesthesia and we still don't really understand how it works.
Oh man, that just, and I'm sure the audience is like, okay, no, enough down memory lane. But I have a son, a baby, and when he was born, it was by C-section, and they told me, you know, they keep you out of the room for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
And then they tell you can come in. And so I was out there and I've been out there, been out there, been out there. Then I saw the anesthesiologist go in with his Yeah, like a resident. So, and I thought to myself, I was like, well, that kid looks really young, but whatever, you know, you got a lot going on that day. And I've been out there for so long. I had had a bunch of coffee that morning and I had to go pee. And so I finally, somebody came out and I was like, hey, can I go pee real quick? And they're like, yeah, you got plenty of time. I was like, cool. So go and pee, come back. And they're like, come on, you got to go. And you got to get in there. And I'm like, and I'm like, okay. So I put the mask on, I go in and I see like blood on the floor, which is probably normal, I guess, in a C-section, but I'm a little faint of that kind of stuff. So I was feeling like lightheaded already. And then look at my wife and she's like completely out of it. And then everything went fine. But after the fact, she tells me that like they had issues with the anesthesia. For some reason, my brain wants to say Anastasia, and I know that it's not what it's called.
That's how it's spelled.
But they had issues with it, and like her blood pressure went way down. And to like a scary point. And I was like, who did it? And she was like, the really young guy. And I was like, God damn it.
That's training amazing. On people. You know what? Maybe you're psychic, dude. Well, maybe you're psychic. And you noticed him, and you like had a clairvoyant feeling inside of you. Maybe you have powers that you're denying.
No one doesn't need any powers. Please.
Sadly, you're not the first guest. Like mediums have come on and they've been like, you've got the gift. And I'm like, get out of here.
Allow me to confirm. I'm not anything, but
I know you have a lot of stories. So you had that one, which is super interesting for sure. And I hate to just jump right to my favorite of the ones I saw on your TikTok, but can you tell us about the one that had something happen to the bed?
Oh, yes. Okay. This one, I wish someone was like closer. Oh, my friend Kendra was like just across from me and I walked over and I was like, did you see that? She was like, what? No, like I'm busy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish. Okay. This is incredible. This is like one of the most like for sure.
And you have a picture of this stuff. One too, right?
Oh, I was talking about a different one.
Oh, yes. Well, no, you go right ahead then.
I was talking about this one lady who didn't want to go get a cardiac cath and she kept saying, I'm going to die. And I was like, no, it's a very simple procedure. And she ended up dying. And the second they called the code blue overhead, her bed in the room moved. I'm telling you, it moved 2 feet. And hospital beds have locks. We lock the wheels so that they don't move. And this locked bed moved 2 feet. And the EKG leads and all the monitor like cords were like swinging back and forth. It was crazy. And it was the second that they called the code blue in cath lab, the second she had passed.
What do you do? Like, how did you feel after that? After somebody telling you like, hey, I'm going to die. And you're like, you'll be fine. And then they die. Like, how do you mentally process something like that?
A lot of people say that. Like before someone passes out, like if someone's getting lightheaded or like if someone's blood pressure drops, they're like, I'm going to die. And you're like, no, you're not going to die. So I hear I'm going to die. I've heard that so many times, especially when I worked in the ER. I think it's just like a fear response. You know,
statistically, just some of them will die, I guess.
Well, and also, it seems way worse for them to say, I'm going to die, and for you to be like, maybe.
That doesn't seem right. Like I can't do that. Like, statistically, you might. No, I would never do that. I don't know. I'll never lie, but I'll always tell them, like, we'll do our best.
Oh my God. I would hate that.
But yeah, that lady, it's like she knew, she felt it. And she had never had any procedure done before. And she didn't have like any medical knowledge. So I thought she was just scared of having a procedure. And she was like, I can't do it. I'm too scared. I'm not going to do it. And then we all like convinced her, oh, it's a very simple procedure. And we need to check your vessels around your heart because some of them are clotted and you might need stents. And we convinced her to do it, and then she died. She knew it.
Did she die from the procedure, or did she die? Like, were there other things going on in her body that, like caused her?
Yeah. No, I didn't know the aftermath, but she probably, maybe she had a clot that moved or something, but she went into cardiac arrest and just passed on the cath lab table.
Do you think she was just like super angry, and that's why the bed was moving and the wires were all moving around?
A little bit. I think she, like, her soul left her body and she was like, mother ever, these people, I told them. And then she like stomped back up to her room on my floor and she like pushed the bed. She was like, ah, you see, I hope you saw that.
I mean, I would think if there's anywhere that has hauntings, it would be like the ER, ICU, like hospice, like all those areas. Just Kat would say the energies. She's real big into like energies of ghosts and people and things of that nature. But if that is a real thing, if we do kind of pass energy out from when we die, you would have to imagine that somebody somewhere like a hospital would be full of that.
Oh, absolutely. I would be hard pressed to find a night shift nurse that does not believe in the paranormal a little bit.
Really?
There's just things that you see on night shift that are like just undeniable. Like, and even from patients, I've had patients tell me before, can you get that guy out of my room? And I look in the corner and there's nobody. And I'm like, sure. Come with me, sir.
And I know you had, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of skipping around on some of your stories, but you have a hospice story as well, right?
Yes. Okay. So this one did not really happen to me, but one of my favorite hospice nurses told me this story, and she had been a hospice nurse for like a bajillion years. So I asked her, like, tell me your scariest story, because I was working night shift and I was bored. And so I told her, it's the middle of the night, you should tell me a scary story. She told me about this one patient that she had who had just really lived like a very negative, terrible life, inflicting pain and violence on other people. And he didn't have any family or anyone, but he was in the hospice care center. So she stayed with him like 24 hours and he was about to pass. So when you die, you do a certain type of breathing. And then he did like a short one and she knew like, okay, this is the end, you know, you just kind of can tell. So she's like watching him and watching his chest. And this guy had been like comatose the entire time. This guy sits straight up in his bed, like straight up from the pillow with his eyes huge, wide, like you can see all of the white. And then he just screams at the top of his lungs, like echoed in the room, and then laid back down like really hard on the bed and then just died.
Like, what is that?
What? Yeah, what is that?
There's a lot of like pent up anger.
Like, did he have unfulfilled dreams and he just realized them in that moment? Like, why?
I don't know. I mean, he had lived like a really, from what she told me, a very like negative life, inflicting pain on others and just really, really convicted of very violent crimes. And she believed he saw hell and then died.
Had a foot in hell. Well, that's an interesting thought. I mean, you have witnessed people die, you know, albeit in a hospital setting, at least as far as we know. You don't have to go into, how religious you are or not. I mean, if you want to, you certainly can. But does witnessing those things make you more or less religious in your beliefs?
I think, I don't know about religious, because when I think about religious, I feel like it's like people practicing and like a group of people, but it definitely makes me believe in an afterlife. Like, I definitely believe there's something after this.
Well, for sure.
I've just seen it. I've seen it just too many times. And like the things that people say before they die, that they see family. And from what I've seen, it seems like a very like peaceful process and kind of great.
One of our early episodes, Teresa the medium is one of Kat's friends, and she had worked, I remember she worked at a hospice with some kind of hospital setting where people had passed away. It may have been a hospice. And she said, now granted, she can see spirits, but she said that people would often tell her about the family members that were in the room with them, and that sometimes they would pass messages along to them, and then they would pass it on to her to give to somebody else, and then that other person would verify, you know, whatever the message was that this family member from the beyond had passed.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And that's what she was, you know, trying to say, like, hey, don't be afraid of death, because, you know, look, we've got this kind of, I put in air quotes, but proof that, you know, there's something else out there. And it seems to be, like you were saying, you know, potentially peaceful and nice. But, you know, we've also had people come on our podcast and talk about like bird demons in their yard and really weird things. So there seems to be some duality there about just how peaceful the other side is.
That's creepy. Well, maybe there's many other sides.
Maybe.
You know, maybe there's like a dark realm and a
I will say place. Now, granted, I have been feeling more anxiety lately. Just my sleep schedule is like really off, and having a baby and trying to balance just work life and things like that, I think like ups my anxiety a little bit, and then my dreams get a little crazy. But I had a dream the other night where real hauntings had made it like really big, like my wildest dreams, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like millions and millions and millions of downloads, whatever, you know. And so my dream's always been for us to be able to tour this podcast. So we had been out and did a tour and a show or whatever. And I was back in my bed in the dream, and the covers like moved themselves up the bed and onto my throat and started to push down like really hard. And so in the dream, I was trying to, you know, get out of it or whatever, and I couldn't. And then I told myself in the dream, I was like, have to, because we hear this from so many people on our podcast. I was like, I have to take control of this situation and tell it no. And so I screamed no in the dream so loud that I screamed no in real life and woke myself up and immediately threw the covers off and got out of bed. I was like, I'm just done sleeping for it.
I'm done sleeping. That's crazy. You know how rare it is to like lucid dream? That's incredible.
Yeah, it happens sometimes to me, but I think it's just because I remember most, or at least, you know, like the ends of my dreams, that I just remember the lucid dreams too more often. But I've probably had like 10 or so lucid dreams. But yeah.
Wow, anyway, dude, your brain is so cool, because like so many people try to do that and they can't. You're totally psychic.
I hate that when you said your brain is so cool. Sarah, before she could even get her comment out, started shaking her head and moving her mouth.
Well, and your smile's so big right now. I'm so proud of that.
I don't think my brain's cool. I don't know. I've got a weird brain.
I wish I could lucid dream. I think about that all the time.
It's pretty cool. Like I have a VR headset, and I used to use it a lot. I don't get to use it as much anymore, but when I was using it a lot, I would dream I'd go to sleep and dream. And in the dream, weird stuff, you know, would start happening. And I would tell myself, oh, I'm in VR. And then I would just do whatever I wanted to do for like, you know, the next whatever parts of the dream. And that was pretty cool. Although one time in the dream, I looked down and my hands were like pixelated, like in a game or something. And that freaked me the fuck out. I immediately woke up. So, okay. Can you tell us the story, the one that you have a picture about on TikTok? I don't want to spoil the ending.
Oh,
can you
tell yes. us? Okay. So of course it was night shift. Of course I worked both shifts, but all this stuff happens on night shift. The hospital was like at full capacity. Like every room is full. Every room in the ER is full. And they're just like, patients back and forth, whoever they can discharge, like, oh, we're going to discharge you in the morning. No, you're getting discharged now at like 1 a.m. Like, we need the beds. So I discharge a patient, and then I'm like, all right, I'm getting one from the ER. But then we didn't have like a functioning bed. Like there was something wrong with the other bed. So maintenance took that one, and we didn't have any hospital beds. And they were like, oh yeah, you have to go to the other building, to the storage room. And I'm like, oh, at 2 a.m, I'm going to go to the storage room in this other building. Let me take somebody with me. So I take a tech with me, and we walk all the way over there, and they dim the lights in the hospital. So probably only like 25% of the lights are on. So it's a little dark, a little eerie. And we start to feel like a little creeped out. There's no one in the hallways, like no one. I'm like, oh, I have like a weird feeling tonight. I feel like it's like, I don't know, there's something following us. So we get to the storage room, and there's nobody there to like check in equipment and stuff like that. And I'm like, ah, let's just look, there's one bed over there. Let's just like make the bed and just take it upstairs really quick. And we'll leave them like a little note or something. So we make the bed, and we have to, you know, hospital beds, everything's like tight. It's a certain way to do it. And then we start pushing it back. So I'm pulling it and she's pushing it. And we're going down this long hallway, and it goes like over like a street and alleyway. So it's like almost like a glass hallway in between the buildings of the hospital. And it only has a couple lights. And as we're getting kind of like to the middle of this long hallway walkway, all the lights shut off at the same time. Mm. And then they flip back on. And then Sarah, the tech behind me, screams And then I just like scream out of like reaction, and I turn around and I'm like, what? What? The lights are on. Like, what's your problem? And she's pointing to the center of the bed and she won't talk. I'm like, what is what? Sarah, what? Like, she's pointing to the center of the bed and there's this giant footprint, like a man's dress shoe footprint. Only one, not like 2 feet, just 1 foot in the middle of the bed. And it's like pushed down in there. And I'm like,
yeah. And you have a picture of that bed on your TikTok and maybe on your Instagram too. I'm not sure.
Yes, but I had to take a picture because I was like, no one's going to believe us. No one is going to believe us.
Is it a very clear like footprint?
Yeah, it is. God. It looks exact. It's a man's shoe. I don't know what size, but it was a man's.
Like a size 11, shoe. Probably. No, I have to.
Give or take, but it definitely wasn't there before. And we had made the bed all pristine and perfect. And as soon as those lights flashed, there's this deep footprint in there. It's weird. Wow.
What did like your coworkers and stuff say when you told them about that?
They did not believe us. They
thought you guys just took the time to put one footprint in the middle of the bed.
You found an 11 size shoe.
Just one. Yeah. Yeah, they kind of just like laughed it off, and we were just so busy that we kind of kept going. And it wasn't until later that I thought back and I was like, man, I'm so glad I got a picture of that. Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I was surprised that that's not the story that has like 9 million views on TikTok, because that's one of the most like supernatural proof stories we've heard, where somebody has a picture that, you know, seems real. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Have you been in that way since?
No. I'll like do anything. I'll buy anyone lunch. Like if I need something from the other building at night, no.
Have you heard of anybody else saying they've had any experiences in that building?
Oh yeah. I mean, like all the time. There is a lady who had passed there and she wore like these like floral, like nightgowns, like really brightly colored floral nightgowns that the old Spanish ladies wear, like my grandma. And, she had passed in like a really like weird circumstances, like a strange complication right after a procedure. And all the other patients in that like section of our department talked about, there's this lady that comes in my room at night and she just comes in, she walks in, she touches my stuff, and then she walks out. And they would all describe this bright floral nightgown and a short little Hispanic woman. Like multiple patients talked about that.
Okay, how are you only an 8 on the scale? It seems like you've had a lot of supernatural stuff happen.
I mean, because some of the stuff that I see, I'm like, I don't know. I think they're faking it. But then the stuff that happens to me, I'm like, yeah, it happened to me. It's totally believable.
Is the footprint in the bed, is that the most supernatural thing you've had happen, like kind of right in front of you?
Yeah, with like proof, yeah. I feel like there's some things that happen, especially like on a busy day or a busy shift or something that happens that you sort of like second guess and you file away in your brain. You're like, I didn't really see that. And then you file it away. And then like a year later, you're like, oh yeah, remember that? I think every nurse is going to have like a whole Rolodex of just these unexplained stories.
Yeah. I feel like, especially working like an overnight shift too, it's just
creepy. I don't know what it is. Like overnight, especially like 2-3 in the morning, there's just some freaky stuff that happens that you just can't explain. And you're like, I don't know, maybe the whole world isn't physical. Maybe there's a spiritual side.
Now, have you always felt safe during these supernatural experiences, or has there been any times where?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never felt anything like threatening, like the energy threatening. I have had a patient pass away, and as we're doing like the post-mortem care and stuff like that, getting them ready for like the funeral home, like I felt like really negative energy. There's been like one or two where we're kind of doing the care and I'm like, oh, I feel this like not happiness in the air, just something different and negative. But otherwise very positive.
What do you think it is that makes you so comfortable around death? Or are you comfortable around death? I mean, it seems like you're around it a good bit.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it. It's just if you see it so many times and you're like, oh, it's not that bad. And it's actually kind of like beautiful and nice people's last few moments are usually really, they seem like so much happier and like at peace, like people that are like grimaced, they're just like, they seem like so, like kind of like a, like hippies that like take a bunch of acid and stuff. And they're just like, everything's wonderful. Like that's what they seem like right before they die.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable around it because I don't fear it.
And I want to say your brain releases like a big dopamine drop or something on our way out to try to ease the burden, I guess.
That's so cool. It does that right after birth too.
Oh, really? Like, that's interesting.
Yeah. You get like a whole rush of like beautiful, happy hormones and stuff.
It is like, I had heard prior to my son being born that, you know, like when you see your son or you hear your, or when you hear, see your baby or hear your baby for the first time, your body releases like all these chemicals to where you kind of like instantly, you know, fall in love and want to take care of the baby. I did not realize, like, I mean, it hits you over the head. Like you hear that first cry and it's just like, you're immediately just like, this is my baby. This is my child.
Yeah. It's super cool. It's super fantastic to like make another little life, but it's kind of the same feelings when people like go to the other side, like when they die. It's kind of like this, like, new beginning.
I feel like you and every serial killer has always said that throughout the
Oh, that's the first time anyone has ever said that to me.
I've been watching a lot of the show, The Killing, I think it was on AMC. I feel like during the pandemic, I'm just watching like every TV show I never got to watch. And so like, I feel like I've done nothing but watch procedural drama for like the past 4 weeks. So sorry, that's kind of where my head went when I heard you say that.
Awesome.
Well, Meg, before we get you out of here, I want to make sure that everybody knows where they can find all your awesome content. I will say that your page, while it is not only spooky stuff, it is full of fun humor. I think especially if you work in the medical field. I don't work in the medical field, but somebody I dated for a long time did, and she was an ER nurse. So I can certainly relate to a lot of the humor and stuff on there. So where can they find your content?
So I have a website, megforit.com, M-E-G-F-O-R-I-T. And then on Instagram and TikTok and all those YouTube and all those little platforms, just search for me by searching Meg For It and you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, Meg, did you have any other stories or anything else you wanted to get out to our audience before we get you out of here?
Oh, man, there's so many that like my brain is always full. I do have a cool story that one of my nursing professors told me. There was a hospital, it's, you know, I think in Virginia, and they had remodeled the old hospital from like way before, like Civil War times. They remodeled it to change the floors. So they added floors and changed ceilings and things. And patients and nurses started noticing ghosts, but they wouldn't see the whole ghost. They would just see like their head floating on the floor because they had changed the levels.
Wait.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Dude, you're telling me that like old buildings are what ghosts live in? So like shells of, there are ghost buildings is what you're saying?
That's what I am communicating, that someone else communicated to me, that ghosts will honor the original architecture.
Okay, I now believe in ghosts. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
That definitely sounds like some Beetlejuice shit. Like I could see that happening in Beetlejuice.
Yes, oh, absolutely. That's but that's ever. It. That is it. That's my scary stories for the day.
Well, thank you so much for sharing those stories. That was a lot of fun. There are times when we try to have back on old guests for fun stuff. And I know one thing we're going to try to do, I don't know if we've decided we're going to try to do it over Zoom or if we're going to wait until the pandemic's over and try to do it in person. But Meg, I think you would be a good candidate. At some point, we're going to try to do a seance, a real haunting seance. So I don't know if that's something you'd be game for, but you know, just think about it. Maybe
we can have you back. I will think about it.
It's like, I will think about it and pass on it.
Let me lose this number.
Just nothing too scary.
Well, at some point, we're going to have the director on for the movie Host. which is now on all platforms to be, you can rent the movie. His movie Host is like a 98% on Rotten Tomato, I want to say. And it came out early 2020, and it's about a seance being done over Zoom, and they actually shot it over Zoom, and it is like freaky as fuck. So that's kind of what I want to eventually, when we do get to interview him, we've been going back and forth. He's in the UK, so it's kind of hard to work out a time, but I want to work it out to where we can release our seance along with the episode of interviewing him.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
So are spirits like Wi-Fi ready? Like they go through the
look, we asked that. We just had a medium on our last episode. Her name is Crystal, and Kat had asked her, like, you know, so do you do your stuff over Zoom now with the pandemic? And she was like, oh yeah, the spirit doesn't care. It can communicate
As long as it's the original Wi-Fi of the location, then they'll be there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That Civil War Wi-Fi and things. Yeah. All right, Meg, well, we will get you out of here. Guys, make sure you check out Meg at Meg For It on all her platforms. I definitely recommend it. I enjoyed going through her TikTok. And yeah, we were super happy to have you on. Very entertaining. And hope you have a good rest of your week.
Yeah, thank you. It was awesome being on here.
Okay, Sarah, are you now going to shift life decisions and go work in the ER so where you can see all these spooky occurrences?
No, I want to work in ghost architecture is what I actually want to work in. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
And yeah, I noticed you really took to that. What was it about that part of the story that got you so much?
It's like thinking about all the layers of ghost buildings on top of our real buildings. I don't know. That's such a cool visual.
It just made me sad thinking that there was ghosts walking around with their heads sticking out of like floorboards and stuff.
Well, I guess they don't know that. They're still walking on a floor and like in their little ghost office.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's almost like they're in a different dimension that's bleeding through from their past life into our life.
Right. Yeah.
I love hearing those stories because I feel like we all know what a hospital is. We all probably know people that have worked in the ER or, you know, been to the ER at some point. So it's a pretty easy starting point to relate to. I feel like some of the stories we get sometimes on the podcast are like, I hate to say far out there, but it's not necessarily things that we can all relate to. And this episode was just jam-packed with hospital stories, which are so, you know, in the supernatural world, they're kind of fun and eerie. I mean, that foot story is so freaky to me.
That's a weird one too, especially because there weren't any patients around. There weren't any, you know, a lot of times it seemed like her stories had to do with like the energy of the patient who was dying. But I mean, this was just two healthy people in a hallway.
And you're a writer. How much did you appreciate the narration of that story with the tech behind her screaming and her turning around being like, what? And then looking down and her screaming too, like how great was that?
Yeah, I know. And I immediately was just like, man, what was he escaping from? What weird hospital situation was he running away from?
You know, some people have a phobia of like doctors and stuff. I used to be kind of bad about that. I think now that I've gotten older, I've just accepted that that's part of life, that we kind of have to go to doctors. Do hospitals freak you out? Or are you cool with, you know, getting stuff taken care of?
Yeah. I don't have an issue being in a hospital, I guess. Like, I don't have an issue waiting. I've waited for people in hospitals before, you know, for them to get surgeries done. And I've had a few surgeries myself. It doesn't bother me, but none of them for me personally were like life or death. So it didn't feel.
Does it bring you any more comfort hearing her talk about things that could potentially validate that there is an afterlife?
Maybe. But then I wonder, you know, like, does that, my thing with afterlives are, you know, are those forever? Because I think that would get boring. That would be my biggest fear of any afterlife. Even if there's like the version is heaven and hell, I mean, for eternity, eventually, unless your memory is wiped every day in hell, like you're going to even get bored with hell. So that's more of like, if there is an afterlife, I hope that that also has an expiration date. And then another level of afterlife that we're worried about.
You think on like year 666, just everything rewinds and you have to start all over again in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so much about the boring aspect because I feel like I can find interest in just about anything. You know, if there's people around, I can drum up some kind of conversation that will entertain myself. I do fear a lot more that there's just nothing, and that, you know, which in my, and this is just my opinion, that if I was a gambling man, I would say the statistics lean more towards that than anything.
What's your fear? That you don't remember any, like that you don't have anything anymore? Because I mean, if it's over, it's over.
I know. And you wouldn't know. So, I mean, I know that's the thing. It's like, it's over. But I think it's just the fear of just missing out. And, you know, there's so much more life to live. I mean, I've heard interviews with people who are in their late 90s who are just like, yeah, no, I'm not ready to die. Like you hear of all these, you know, story people that do accept it. And I think a lot of times that has to do with religion, but not necessarily so. But I just, there's just always stuff to take in and see. And, you know, now granted, 2020 has been pretty rough. And today is January the 6th when we're recording this. And today has been a pretty strange day in our history.
2021 starting off weird.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, but things won't always be like this, and things will get back to some sense of normal eventually. And I don't know. I think I'm just at a point in my life where there's so much I want to do out there that the thought of that being gone is kind of creepy to me. And that's why I enjoy this podcast so much, because it does feed into that a little bit to me of like, well, if they're telling the truth and these are real experiences, then at the very worst, I can get stuck in some purgatory and on Earth where I just repeat the same sequence of events every day.
Or you could get stuck in a purgatory where there's apparently no stimulus around you, which is what you need to find something interesting. So there's no people to talk to and nothing to do every day.
Which that would be like its own special kind of hell. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems worse than just there being nothing.
Yeah, I guess so. So out of those stories, what did you find the most convincing, or like which one would you have wanted to experience?
I mean, certainly the shoe was the most convincing, because I mean, she specifically said they made the bed, so it wasn't even like they just didn't notice it and they were started wheeling this bed. I mean, they intentionally made the bed, and there were two of them, and you know, it just seems like very evidence heavy. So I think that one was definitely the most convincing. The one I would love to see would be the hospice nurse one, where the guy just like sat up and screamed, because not many people see that side of human life. It would just be fascinating to see someone die like that.
It was the polar opposite of what she said she had experienced, which was seeing death be like this graceful experience where people seem to have a real sense of peace as they moved on. Meanwhile, this guy who I think she said had had some history with breaking the law and had not been good to people, maybe had a foot in hell. And
I mean, or maybe that's what's relaxing to him. Maybe that is his piece, is just screaming bloody murder one more time.
Bloody murdy.
Bloody murdy. Bloody murdy. Well, it's interesting. The concept of like shared hallucinations is interesting, because I know my dad was recently in the hospital for a while, and he talked to one of his doctors. He was in the ICU for 2 weeks, and he talked to one of his doctors about this shared hallucination that they all have of bugs flying around the room and crawling up the walls. And the doctor was like, yeah, that is something that all of my patients tell me.
Now, is that coming out of anesthesia, or like when is that typically experienced?
No, this was like a week after his surgery. He just sort of went into, they call it delirium. So I think because he was in the ICU and he didn't know night and day, and he had some pretty serious complications, and he almost died a few times. So I think just the shock of the body, I mean, he wasn't eating, he couldn't eat food. So he just had fluids being pumped in, and he just, I think, had no normal sense of grounding. And so he started hallucinating things, which is apparently a pretty shared and common thing.
And didn't you tell me that he saw like Civil War ghost or something?
He said he saw colonial people dancing. He didn't know them. He didn't recognize them. They weren't meaningful to him, but they were in colonial attire and they were dancing. Visited him a few times, apparently.
Now, was your dad a believer in ghosts prior to these experiences?
It probably depends on what day you ask him. I mean, I don't think he would say that he was a diehard believer in ghosts. I would say it's interesting. He's had a couple like near-death experiences when he was 19, he was in a garage that exploded. and he like caught on fire and ended up having to be in the hospital for a few weeks. Actually, I think it was like closer to 2 months. I don't know. I wasn't alive. But I know that he had some experiences then too. But every time, like in the hospital, like when he was coding, and then also when that first happened, right before he passed out in the garage, when he was like literally on fire, because he tried to roll around to catch off fire, but there was
stop, drop, and roll. Yeah,
but there was like so much gas in the air because he was in a garage working on a car that he like kept reigniting.
Oh my gosh.
And he said both times it was very, very peaceful. So very similar to what she was saying of,
wow.
of like right before that moment, there's just like this peace.
So he thought he was going to die when he was on fire.
Yeah. And he says he remembers even from the beginning, like from the beginning of the explosion, he was like, it was always peaceful. Like I was never panicking. I just kind of accepted where I was. And
you think that's where you get your fighting spirit from your dad?
I don't know. I've never been caught on fire, so I don't think I quite have the same fighting spirit, but yeah, I mean, he definitely, you know, he has that mentality.
But he had not seen ghosts prior to this previous experience in the hospital though, right? That was the first time or no?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask him.
Because I know he wanted to come on the podcast and you won't let him, so.
No, definitely not coming on the podcast. Yeah, I think, he's a very in the moment guy. And he'll believe in things. Like he'll believe in things if he feels them more than sees them. So,
I would say like you're pretty grounded because you don't really. I know you're. You know you find it interesting to hear these stories and even like the stories your dad tells and stuff. But you probably lean more on like, well, it's either just an illusion or they think they're seeing something or they're not or right. You tend to think it's not an actual spirit from the beyond, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what his doctor was telling us, you know, so because it was COVID, none of us could even be in the hospital. So the doctor would call. And one of the days they called and they're like, you know, so he's experiencing delirium. This is a common thing that they experience in the ICU. And she even was like telling my mom at the time, she was like, yeah, he's pretty funny. He's like making jokes about it. So, you know, so I mean, I think even he had some awareness of like, this isn't real what I'm seeing. But then there were other times when he... this was like a little more serious, I guess, but he told me there were times where we were in the room with him and he was talking to us and he was like telling us things that he wanted us to hear. And he really thought we were there. And I think that must've been a weird feeling for him when he had those moments of clarity where he was like, oh, they're not here. Eventually you have to deal with your reality, whether you can try and fight it as much as you want.
Well,
but
do you? I don't know. Is that?
Yeah. Eventually you're going to die. Noah, and it sounds like the solution is just to be around death. But yeah, I think doing those types of things help us. You know, there are probably things when he went in for a surgery, we knew it was high risk, but we didn't think he would be in the position that he was in after the surgery. So I think there were things he probably wished he could have said, and he found a way to like live those out, even if it wasn't necessarily real, so that he could find
some
peace.
Yeah, but he's doing better now, right?
He is. Yeah, he's home and he's recovering. So
awesome. Well, that's good. Well, audience, if you would like to hear Sarah's dad come on and tell his ghost stories, make sure to email us. I'll be sure to forward those on to Sarah so she can read them and pass them on to her dad. Or maybe I'll just send them right to her dad because I know he wants to already come on anyway. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Sarah Stevens. Please do it again. I thought you had one more line. I was so excited. I knew I was going to nail it this time too. All right.
I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm Sarah Stevens.
Woo!
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.